am going to speak with you about spring cleaning for fresh meaning. So today is Sunday, June 9th, if you didn't know that. And it is still springtime. In our mind, because of the WSU calendar and the U of I calendar, we think that we're already in summer. But technically, we are still in springtime. Friday, June 21st, is the first day of summer. In the Northern Hemisphere, the longest day and shortest night of the year occur on this date, on June 21st, marking the beginning of summer. So the good news is, you still have over 10 days to get ready for summer. Isn't that great? If you're not ready yet, you don't have to worry about it, because you still have 10 days to change out your winter clothes, to buy some flowers, to whatever it takes for you to think that it's summertime. You have over 10 days left. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come." And that's really true. I couldn't believe it. Last night I must have woke up in the middle of the night and I had my window open and the birds were so loud. They get up very, very early and they were singing so loud. Spring is a wonderful time of year. It rains and that makes everything green and so fresh. The flowers push their way through the soil. Dogs shed. Birds build nests wherever they want. And I have a picture of this. For Mother's Day, Tommy and Catania gave me a beautiful, beautiful fuchsia. Is that right what it's called, Catania? Beautiful fuchsia. And so I was like, wow, that is just amazing. Thank you so much. And then I went to water it, and I pulled it down and looked at it, and this is what I found inside of it. In less than 2 weeks, a bird built its nest there, and I was going to pull the nest out because Janelle told me she thought somebody might be building a nest there. But when I looked down and saw the eggs, I couldn't pull the nest out. So this has been very challenging to pull it down and water around the nest. But I'm determined we're going to have little robins there. So anyway, flowers come. Lots of good things happen in spring. I remember my mom getting all excited about bulbs coming up in the springtime. And she was so excited about her flowers and she loved birds. And I'm like, wow, you're really old. Old people like those things. And then it's funny, I started getting older. And so, man, the snow's barely gone, and I'm out in my garden seeing if any of my perennials are coming up yet. I'm so excited about my flowers growing, and I thought, truly, I am getting old. Spring cleaning. From Wikipedia, it says, spring cleaning is the practice of thoroughly cleaning a house in the springtime. The practice of spring cleaning is especially prevalent in climates with cold weather. So see, we get to enjoy this because we have cold weather. Just imagine if it was sunny all year long, you wouldn't know when to do your spring cleaning. The most common usage of spring cleaning refers to the yearly act of cleaning a house from top to bottom, which would take place in the first warm days of the year, typically in the spring, hence the name. However, it has also come to be synonymous with any kind of heavy-duty cleaning or organizing enterprise. A person who gets their affairs in order before an audit or inspection could also be said to be doing some spring cleaning. So anything can be called spring cleaning if it involves kind of a big job of cleaning something out, whether it's your paperwork or your house or whatever. History, where did this even come from? It has been suggested that the origins of spring cleaning date back to the Persian New Year, which falls on the first day of spring. They continue the practice, which literally means shaking the house before the new year. A similar tradition is the Scottish New Year's cleaning on December 31st. They do it to get ready for the new year, a practice also widespread in Ireland, New Zealand, and North America. Another possibility of the origin, and I love this, of spring cleaning can be traced to the ancient Jewish practice of thoroughly cleansing the home in anticipation of the springtime memorial of Passover, in remembrance of the Jews' hasty flight from Egypt following their captivity there. During the seven-day observance of the Passover memorial, there are strict prohibitions against eating or drinking anything which may have been leavened with yeast. So they had to go through their houses and clean it all out. Jews, that's Exodus 12, 15, and 19. Jews are not only supposed to refrain from leavened foodstuffs, they are expressly commanded to rid their homes of even small remnants for the length of the holiday. Therefore, observant Jews conducted a thorough spring cleaning of the house, followed by a traditional hunt for crumbs by candlelight on the evening before the holiday begins. In North America and Northern Europe, the custom found an especially practical value due to those regions' continental and wet climates. During the 19th century in America, prior to the advent of the vacuum cleaner, which we all love our vacuum cleaners, when it started to get warm enough, it was the best time for dusting and for getting the winds would come in and it would blow the dust out of the house. And if anyone's lived in the Palouse for very long, you know, we almost need to do a fall cleaning after harvest because harvest brings so much dust into our homes. But we love harvest. We love the smell of harvest. We love what it does for the farmers around us. So you want it to be warm enough to open up the windows and doors and get the dust out, but not warm enough for the insects to come in or to be a problem. So that's kind of the origin of spring cleaning. So because it's still spring, technically, I'm going to talk to you about this today. Spring cleaning your home. Your environment, the environment that you live in, whether it's a dorm room or whether it's an apartment, or if you're a high school student, your room, or if you're a homeowner, or for a guy, your garage, all those environments are important to us. Guys love garages. They love cleaning garages. My husband loves to clean the garage. But if I'm not there, I'm very nervous about things I've put in the garage being thrown out without my knowledge. So I have to kind of keep an eye on him when he cleans the garage. Your environment is important. The first thing God did in Genesis 1:1 was to create an environment for his people to live in. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created an environment before he even created us. God created the heavens and earth, and he planted a garden for his creation. He called it the Garden of Eden. He liked plants, too. So he called it the Garden of Eden. He created that environment before he even created the people to put into it. God prepared a garden. Do we prepare our homes? Do we get ready to have people into our homes, whether it's our family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, anyone? Do we prepare, or do they just come a place where we just come in and kind of drop all our stuff? No, God prepared a garden, and we get to prepare our homes. Do you feel comfortable in your home? Do you like it? If not, investment makes a big difference. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." By treasure here, it can mean your time, your energy, your investment. Besides preaching, my goal this weekend is to clean my laundry room. Now, you ask, why do I need to clean my laundry room? Because I don't like it. I don't like it. Everybody throws stuff there, and it just gets messier and messier, and little things build up, and I don't like it. How can I expect myself to go in and do laundry when I don't like the clutter in my laundry room? It's not much fun. It will take time and energy and effort for me to get prepared to do laundry. And this is laundry, true laundry. Joey, my grandson, our grandson, is so funny. He says, "Daddy, let's go mow the laundry." He doesn't understand that there's different words between lawn and laundry, so he wants to go mow the laundry. If you need to mow your laundry, then it's probably time to do your laundry. Do others feel comfortable in your home? I want people to come into my home and feel comfortable there. If there's stuff all over and there's no place for them to sit, they probably don't feel very comfortable. Do they like it? If not, then make the investment. Take the time and the energy to minister to yourself and others. Prepare to host, to make them feel welcome and comfortable, to be able to fellowship and enjoy others. If necessary, declutter. Now, I know many friends that I have kind of moved into newer homes or different living situations in the last 2 to 5 years, and they box up all their old stuff, get rid of it, go through it. How old are you, Katania? How old are you? Are you 85? 27? 27? Are you 27? We lived in our home for like 26 years, and I'll tell you what, I've noticed that over the years, the space doesn't get bigger, but the amount of stuff in the space does. So if you live in the same place for a long time, you constantly have to be decluttering. So Dinah M. Craik says, "Keep what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away." Or with the dumpster, blow it away. Just get rid of stuff that you don't need in your life. Mother Teresa said, and I love this, "The more you have, the more you are occupied. The less you have, the more free you are." And that's the possessions that we have in this life, don't let them weigh you down. Let them be something that is useful for you as you serve God, but don't let them weigh you down. When your environment is fresh and clean, it can help you want to be hospitable. Like the Bible says, 1 Peter 1:9, offer hospitality to one another. I I think God's so funny. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, why would it put that in the scripture unless somebody had been offering hospitality with grumbling? Oh, why do they have to come over right now? Oh, my house isn't clean. Oh, I don't have food ready. Whatever. No, we're supposed to offer hospitality without grumbling. And in the New Living, it says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. To cheerfully share your home, you need to be willing to have it prepared and ready for others. Okay, that's spring clean your home. Number two, spring clean your heart. How is the state of your heart after the winter? Is it fresh and clean? What is your relationship with Jesus? Did it get a little dusty over the winter? Sometimes we let our heart get a little dusty. We need to blow it off. If your Bible has dust on it, blow it off. Get it off. Clean it off. Get the dust off and open it up and let the Word of God be alive and fresh to you. Spring is a great time to dust off the spiritual cobwebs in our hearts and renew a fresh relationship with Jesus. Think of something new for your walk with God. Prayer and worship can take on a fresh feel. Take your Bible, go outside, enjoy the smells of the springtime, and open the Word of God and let Him speak to you. Go for a walk with Jesus, sing Him a worship song. Clean out the clutter in your soul. Do you realize that sometimes our souls get cluttered? They do. They just get all the cares of this life, and they kind of weigh down on you over time. And it's important for us to take the time to clean out the clutter of our souls, the clutter of our hearts, and let them be fresh again before the Lord. He loves it when we clean out the clutter in our souls. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God washes over your heart, washes over your mind, and will make it fresh and clean. Psalm 51:2, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin." Wash, cleanse. That's spring cleaning right there. "Wash away my iniquity, O Lord." Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." See, they weren't afraid to do a little cleaning in their soul. "Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Show me where there's iniquity. Show me things that need to be washed away, that need to be cleaned up, and I will be clean before you, O Lord. Wash away my iniquity. Cleanse me from sin. Create in me a clean heart." Sounds like spiritual spring cleaning to me. Where do you need to do spiritual spring cleaning in your life? Where do I need to do spiritual spring cleaning? Maybe it's just that you haven't made Him a priority. Maybe it's that you let anger get in the way or just things that weigh you down. And it's time to just blow some of that dust away and freshen up your spiritual walk. Repentance is a good thing. You know, in Psalm 51, where it talks about create a clean heart in me, I really believe David was broken with a spirit of repentance. He was willing to admit where he was wrong before the Lord and be soft and broken before Him and repent. And as we repent and turn from our sin, God's able to cleanse us from all that's holding us back. It's a good thing. Don't be afraid of repentance, but embrace it so you can feel that clean feeling in your heart. Such a wonderful feeling to feel clean in your heart and in your soul. What is your heart cluttered with that needs a touch of spiritual spring cleaning? You know, that's a good question for us to ask. All of us get, you know, the winter, it can be a spiritually kind of dark time. We need to just set that aside and ask, "Lord, what is it that I need to declutter in my soul?" Declutter your heart, declutter your soul. The eyes, you know, it says that the eyes are the window to the soul. So do your windows need washing? The eyes are the window to the soul. It's important, very important, our eyes and what we allow them to see. It's important for us to take a good look at what you put before them and make sure that those eyes that are the windows to the soul remain shiny and clean. Our world out there just puts so much garbage in front of us every single day. And we need to be careful what we allow our eyes to see, because that goes into our soul. So keep your spiritual windows clean before the Lord. What has you feeling down? What is worrying you? You know, those are things that can bog down or clutter your soul, things that worry you, that bother you, things that are weighing you down. Think about those and identify them. And don't be afraid to just take them to Jesus. Just take those worries and those doubts and those fears or whatever it is that's bothering you and just put it in a big bag and take it to him like you would take a bag to the Salvation Army. Just pack it up and take it to him. And when you do, leave it there. Leave it. You don't take a bag to the Salvation Army, set it down, and then go back to your car, and then come back and pull a few more things out and put it back in your car. No, we need to leave it. When we were training our dogs, we got a new puppy a couple year and a half ago, and Catania and Creighton and Heidi, and when we were training it, they did these things where they would train them to leave it. That's what they'd say. They'd go, leave it, leave it, and if you put a snack there but you don't want them to eat it yet, leave it. So now if the dog goes over because there's a baby there and wants to lick the baby's face, we can say, leave it. But when I was thinking about this, about taking things to Jesus that burden us and weigh us down, I heard the Lord say, leave it. Just like we're a dog, we need to leave it there. Sometimes we take our burdens to him and then we pick them right back up. We go, oh, Jesus, I'm really weighed down by this. I give it to you. Okay, let me have it back now. And we take it back into our heart. Instead of decluttering our souls, decluttering our hearts and our lives, giving it to him and leaving it there. So don't be afraid to take things to him and then leave it there. And tell yourself, leave it, leave it, leave it there. So many things hold us back and keep us from fulfilling God's call on our life. And I really challenge you to ask yourself, what is it? Is it your home? Is it your relationships? What is it that holds you back? Be able to take those to the Lord and get a fresh, fresh start. Don't be distracted by those things that distracted you in the past. But set a different, say, it's springtime and I'm going on. I got 10 days to get ready for summer and I'm going to take care of these things in my life and embrace God in a fresh new way. So spring clean your home, spring clean your heart, spring clean your hello. This is my third point. Spring clean your hello. Get it off. Dust it off. It is so important. To me, hello is relationships. Hello is us being willing to move into one another's lives in friendship. Put back into use some relationships that have been sitting on the shelf, gathering dust. We all have friendships that we kind of, you know, they're important for a while, and then somehow it just sort of ends up on a shelf. And some of those relationships we need to pull back down, dust off. And relate again and give and receive from others. And we also need to open ourselves up to new relationships. You know, sometimes we just get kind of comfortable in our own little world, our own little get up, get ready for work, go to work, come home from work, fix dinner. Da-da-da-da. You know, we get so comfortable in our own little lifestyle. But God wants us to open ourselves up to new friendships and new relationships and new opportunities to minister. And we need to be willing to open up our lives, open up our hello, open up our ourselves to be able to build new friendships. Is it risky? Sure. Is it vulnerable? Absolutely. It's scary. It's scary to build new friendships, but it can be so wonderful and so satisfying. So I want to show a little clip here. I'm not vouching for the movie, but I think you'll get my point here. So a little clip from a movie here.
We live in a cynical world. A cynical world. And we work in a business of tough competitors. You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
So that clip, I love that phrase, you had me at hello. Now this is just a secular movie, whatever, but when I think about the fact that Jesus Christ lives inside of us, Jesus Christ lives inside of you, then really anyone that you go up to and say hello to, That is, it's magnetic. The Jesus in you gets to give out to that other person just by you saying hello. How powerful. You know, we can go into the store and go shopping and do all this stuff and not even look at anyone. You know, you just go to your car, you go to your, do your list, you get back in. But you know what? You have God inside of you to share with others. Give it away with just a hello. Open yourself up to relationships. Open yourself up so somebody can go, you know what? You had me at hello. You had the, I found the Jesus in you just by you saying hello. How powerful is that? Clean up and clean out your relationships. We all have relationships that have gone stagnant or where there's a little bit of hurt here or there. Forgiveness is so powerful. You know, you don't even need somebody to ask you for forgiveness for you to be able to forgive them. You know, we think, well, if they just beg me for it, maybe I would grant it. No, that's where Jesus was an awesome example for us in relationships. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nobody asked him forgiveness then, but he was willing to forgive. And that's what we need to do in relationships. We need to be willing to forgive before anyone asks us, regardless of whether anyone asks us. Life is way too short to be bitter. Bitterness is horrible. I remember in grade school, I remember learning, or maybe it must have been junior high, I remember learning that bitterness is vinegar in your heart. That it just kind of pickles you from the inside out. And it's not worth it. So forgive. I would so much rather be known for forgiveness than for bitterness. None of us want to die bitter, lonely old people. Why? When God has been the best example of all of forgiveness, we need to take on his spirit and be willing to forgive. Even if no one ever asks you for it, you can still grant it to others. 2 Corinthians 7, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates or clutters body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die for you. So here what he's saying is we would live for or die for you. We're committed to you. Make room for us in your hearts. Wow, what a powerful concept that you can make room in your heart for others. Make room in your hearts for one another. Don't put up walls of protection, but declutter and make room. Make room in your heart. Make room in your hello for others. Keep short accounts. There's nothing worse than somebody coming and saying, you know, 6 years ago, you said this as you were passing. I mean, oh, don't do that. Keep short accounts. If someone offends you, go to them right away. Get it taken care of and forgive. Let's be long on forgiveness and short on our accounts so that we can make room for one another in our hearts. So we clean our homes, we clean our hearts, we clean our hellos. Why? For fresh meaning, so that we can take on that springtime spirit and have fresh meaning in our lives. It opens us up and gives us an allowance for fresh meaning. Things that you have not considered will all of a sudden come into view. You know, if you're bogged down all of a sudden, you're all in your own little world, you don't realize that there's an opportunity before you. But when you spring clean, all of a sudden you go, hey, I could do that. Hey, why don't you come over? Hey, let's meet. What? Your heart's open. Your time, your effort is open. You've got more energy because you're not, things that you have not considered will all of a sudden be opportunities for you because you are not weighed down by the things that clutter your soul, clutter your home. You'll be able to easily reach out and help those in need. You know, you were put here for a reason. We're not all just supposed to exist in this space. No, God has placed a purpose for each one of us in this life. And we need to make sure that we fulfill it and don't just kind of drag along and well, I made it through. No, did you accomplish the call that God had on your life while you were here? You were put here for a reason. It's time to clean out the cobwebs and awaken to that freshness in your life. You have meaning and you have a destiny to fulfill. So in conclusion, today is a new day. It's a new day. We got over 10 days till summer. The winter is past. It's a new day. And it's time to embrace the fresh and the new in your life. sort through, get rid of the clutter, get it out of your life, whether it's in your home, in your heart, or in your relationships, in your hello. Get rid of that clutter and embrace a freshness, a newness in your life. As you spring clean your home, your heart, and your hello, you will sense a fresh meaning in your life, and you will see what God's going to do in and through you. So I really encourage you to embrace a freshness today. And the best place to start is that if you've never asked Jesus into your heart to start that freshness, to creating you a clean heart, today's a great day to ask him into your life, to give you that awesome freshness that springtime can bring and make your heart brand new. So if you haven't done that, we're going to have some people up here later who can pray for you. Come on up and say, I'd like to ask Jesus into my heart so that he can clean out and declutter my soul. I want to be fresh and new. So come on up after the service and they'll pray for you. Also, if you have any other prayer needs, please feel free to come up and get prayer. The house of God is for us to help one another, to not be all aware of just ourselves, but to be able to help one another. So I encourage you today, look for those areas that you can declutter in your heart, in your home, in your heart, and in your hello, in your relationships. And let's bring glory to God in everything we do. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great afternoon.